what I'm presenting here is a chapter from my new book that's not yet out. I noticed that you've got a new initiative that has to do with engineering and social justice, and it just so happens that this is a total new area for me, but I included a chapter in this new book on engineering and social justice, so I thought maybe people would be interested to know about the book. So first, to situate the chapter that I'm going to read. So it's preceded by this chapter called "Are Rotten Apples or Rotten Barrels Responsible for Technological Mishaps?" And what I do there is focus, I think of it as kind of a backward-looking examination of safety. So one of the primary ways we learn about safety and how to make technology safe is by looking at things that went wrong, looking at accidents. And so in the next chapter, which is the one you're going to hear, I turn my attention to the question, to forward-looking rather than backward-looking. It's a very different kind of question of how do we think about safety and how do we deal with safety when we're creating these brand new things that you can't rely so much on his history. So the first thing is to situate this. This is a picture of an autonomous car of today. Cars and this is a car with what would be called a low level of autonomy. Cars with low levels of autonomy are now on the road, and enormous resources are being put into the development of fully autonomous cars. However, safety standards are not yet established, and there hasn't been a broad public discussion of what level of safety should be required. Moreover, it's not clear how standards will be established. In order to explore what level of safety can be or should be achieved in autonomous cars, this presentation considers the pros and cons of autonomous cars and asks how the safety issue can be addressed. Because autonomous cars are an emerging technology, it's difficult to know what level of safety can be achieved. Hence, the question I think needs asking is a kind of prior question of how we should think about safety and standards in autonomous cars. The first thing to note, maybe too obvious but to even mention, but is autonomous cars are an emerging technology. Emerging technologies, and so I have a different picture here, which is kind of a futuristic, that's a vision that's different from what the Google car. And what I want you to note about this in particular is there's no steering wheel. So this is, the future is envisioned not even to have a steering wheel there. So emerging technologies are technologies that are acknowledged to be in the early stages of development. And in this respect, there are technologies that don't yet exist, that doesn't yet exist, at least not in the mature and stabilized form that they're expected to achieve. Those involved in the development usually have visions of what is yet to come. Developers see themselves in a race often to get the best first version into the market so that consumers and the public become familiar with their brand. Consumers are often willing to buy immature versions, as we have today, knowing full well that better models are likely to appear in the future, but they want to be the first adopters. In addition to autonomous cars, examples of emerging technologies include virtual reality devices, artificial intelligence, brain-computer interfaces, geoengineering, and I could go on. So early versions of all of those technologies are available now, though consumers, as I said before, recognize that these are crude models by comparison with what will be developed in the future. Now, maybe again too obvious to mention, but because emerging technologies aren't yet fully developed, there's enormous uncertainty about what they'll actually end up looking like in their future stabilized form. In the case of autonomous cars, we don't know precisely how the cars will work. That depends on how all the technical and social challenges that engineers are working on now are eventually met. We don't know how the cars themselves will work, as well as what sort of system they'll be part of. Will there be a transition period during which driver and driverless cars are on the roads together. Safety is much harder to achieve in a mixed system because of the difficulty that self-driving cars have in anticipating the behavior of humans, human drivers. Will there ultimately be only self-driving cars on the road? If so, will the cars be able to communicate with one another, or will each car react independently to what it senses? Will individuals own cars, or will there be a system or multiple system of cars roaming around so that individuals can order them up as needed, much as we now order up Uber and or Lyft cars? So emerging technologies present a conundrum. On the one hand, there's no point in developing, in the development of something that will never be safe or cheap or convenient enough to be accepted and adopted. On the other hand, no one can know for sure whether an idea for a new technology can be developed into something safe or cheap or convenient enough. Can't know until we try. So in the case of autonomous cars, there's enough interest and willingness to invest in the attempt, even though there are uncertainties as to whether the goal can be achieved. Engineers and others have to jump in and try to solve the technical challenges to understand whether and how the goal of fully autonomous cars can be achieved. Now, so there's a kind of standard thing that engineers think in terms of, which is a level, cars have different levels of automation. And right now we do have cars, I don't want to go too much detail, we do have cars with levels of up to 1, 2, and some even with 3, but we're far from fully, what they call full automation. Using this system, the vehicles now available for purchase vary in their levels of automation, but none go beyond level 3. In addition to these cars, there are currently a small number of cars on the road with higher levels of automation that are licensed only for experimental purposes. These cars are still required to have a human behind the wheel at all times. Some say that the term driverless should be used only to refer to level 5 cars, and self-driving cars only to refer to level 4 cars. But let's not worry too much about that. The one other thing I should mention in terms of terminology is there are these three terms that are often interchangeable: autonomous cars, self-driving cars, and driverless cars. And some people make clear distinctions with them, but they're used kind of interchangeably. So what I want to get to is the pros and cons of autonomous cars and then get beyond this. So the idea of autonomous cars has grabbed, I'm sure you're aware, the attention and fascination of engineers, entrepreneurs, the media, and the public. Although there are many reasons for moving to a system of autonomous cars, by far the most compelling argument has to do with safety. As one author put it, describes it, since human driver errors cause most automobile deaths, autonomous cars should increase highway safety. Just to give you some statistics, the World Health Organization states that 1.3 million people per year worldwide die from car accidents. In 2010, 32,885 Americans died in car accidents, and over 2.2 million people were injured in a vehicle. Worldwide, Google and other car manufacturers argue that autonomous vehicles will reduce the number of car accidents and fatalities and injuries resulting from human error because the computer controlling the autonomous car vehicle, get this, does not get tired, intoxicated, or distracted as does the human driver. So the safety argument, and I kind of quoted that stuff on purpose because I think we should be careful about it. The safety argument, nevertheless, simultaneously provides an economic justification. According to a 2012 report, more than 2.3 million adult drivers and passengers were treated in the U.S. emergency rooms in 2009. The report cites the American Automobile Association estimate that car crashes cost Americans almost $300 billion annually. So if autonomous cars reduce accidents, this would enormously reduce the amount of money now being spent for medical treatment. So in addition to safety and the economics of your accidents, autonomous cars are also touted on grounds of efficiency and mobility. The idea is that that the time people currently spend driving to and from work is not productive. So if individuals are able to work during their commutes, their productivity would greatly be improved. Also, some argue that since traffic jams are one of the things that lengthen commuter time, and since driverless cars could be controlled in a way that keeps traffic flowing, commute times could be reduced. Moreover, currently a considerable number of people are unable to drive. Driverless cars could mean that the disabled would be able to move about more freely, not having to rely on human drivers. So the arguments in favor of shifting to autonomous cars are admittedly very compelling. Yet on the other side, some argue that research and development are a long way from fully autonomous cars that will be safe enough to be allowed on public roads. Although no one seems to argue that it's inherently impossible to achieve fully autonomous cars that would be safe enough, there's controversy about how long it will take, whether the public will ever accept such cars, and most importantly, whether they can ever reach a level of safety that would justify the cost and disruption of shifting to a pure system of autonomous cars. Those who think we are a long way from safe self-driving cars cite a number of daunting technical challenges that are yet to be overcome. For example, although the cars currently being tested may operate well in ordinary circumstances, they do not yet operate safely in bad weather, where there may be dense fog, sudden downpours, and snow accumulation. There are issues about the adequacy of the sensors. Current sensors cannot detect unusual objects or interpret a traffic policeman's gestures. There are issues about the reliability of machine learning algorithms. Another big problem has to do with the vulnerability of autonomous cars to hacking and spoofing. According to Cummings and Ryan, it's easy to spoof the GPS systems of autonomous cars, and without proper security, it's feasible for someone to commandeer a car and control its behavior for malicious purposes or just the thrill of being able to do it. In addition to these technical challenges, there are issues involving public acceptance. Some individuals may be reluctant to entrust their lives to an autonomous machine. Some also resist the idea of self-driving cars making decisions about who lives and who dies in a collision. Some may be so attached to driving that they will not want to give it up. As well, privacy may be an issue, since autonomous cars will likely require cameras inside the car as well as outside, and that will mean surveillance of passengers, if not in real time, then at least in the form of records of passenger behavior. Surveillance will be possible not just through cameras, but through the wireless connections that are likely to be required for software updates and other kinds of monitoring. If autonomous cars require an end to privacy while riding, then at least some portion of the public may resist. The potential positives and negatives are, of course, highly speculative at this point, since they depend greatly on the concrete ways in which autonomous cars of the future will actually work and what sort of system they will operate in. In the process of future development, some of the positives and negatives will likely change. This is the uncertainty of emerging technologies. For example, the reduction in fatalities currently predicted may shrink as engineers learn about new kinds of failure that can occur in the cars. Or on the other side, the level of trust in self-driving cars may increase as people get accustomed to the idea of not having control. No matter what is learned in the process of development, however, this is what I think, I'm sure of, safety will be the central issue. Be it the technical or social realm, Safety will be at the heart of decisions that will determine the success or failure of autonomous cars. The challenge of figuring out what is safe enough is complex, in part because safety is generally not a black and white matter. That is, the question is rarely whether something is safe versus unsafe. Rather, the safety issue is whether this technology has an acceptable level of safety, I should emphasize, acceptable level of safety, or whether it is safer than the alternatives, or whether it is safe enough on balance given the benefits provided. And these questions are not entirely scientific or engineering matters. Deciding whether something is safe enough or safe on balance is both a technical matter, such as what are the probabilities that an accident will occur, and also a matter of values, preferences, and historical and political context. How much risk is acceptable? So while engineers are essential to determining the safety of autonomous cars, a range of other actors, including the public and regulatory agencies, are also essential in decision making about the safety of autonomous cars. So a number of fatalities involving autonomous cars have already occurred, one in China and several in US. I'm sure some of you have heard about these. These incidents have made the safety issue quite real and visible to the public. The first accident in the US occurred in 2016 when a man was killed while his Tesla was in autopilot mode. The car crashed head-on into a tractor trailer. As the Tesla team wrote, neither autopilot nor the driver noticed this is a quote, the white side of a tractor trailer against a bright lit sky. The second fatality in the US occurred in March of 2018 when a pedestrian crossing the street at night was hit and killed by an Uber vehicle, also operating in autopilot mode, but with a person behind the wheel. The vehicle operator did not see a woman walking alongside with her bicycle. According to one report, the car's radar detected the woman about 6 seconds before the crash, first identifying her as an unknown object, then as a vehicle, then as a bicycle, each time adjusting its expectations for her path of travel. The person behind the wheel had looked away briefly and didn't see the woman in time to react, and the woman died later in the house. Little detail in there. So for the autonomous car to work, they have to predict the path that the moving thing that they see is going. And in order for them to predict that path, they have to know what it is, whether it's a person or an animal or whatever. So these incidents are of enormous concern to the public, as you'd imagine. However, autonomous car advocates argue that the autonomous cars of the future will be much safer than current models. Current models are dangerous in part because drivers are now expected to pay attention, the drivers behind the wheels, and be prepared to take over control in an emergency. In fact, those who sit behind the wheel of cars that are operating autonomously are often referred to as emergency or safety drivers. This mixed mode of operation is dangerous because emergency drivers are not fully engaged in driving. So when a collision is imminent and the driver is alerted to take over control, there may not be enough time for the emergency driver to react quickly enough to avert an accident. Autonomous cars advocates insist that self-driving cars of the future will be so safe that emergency drivers will not be needed. However, there is still the question as to how we will know when fully autonomous cars are safe enough to operate as such without emergency drivers. And who will decide and what criteria will be used to make the safety determination? So in the chapter, I spent a lot of time using cost-benefit analysis, not so much using it, but looking at how cost-benefit analysis is used when it comes to autonomous cars. Basically, what I do there is talk about the limitations of cost-benefit analysis in general. There are things that it's good at doing and the things it's not good at doing. And I apply that to those general criticisms to the case of autonomous cars. Now for what I consider the interesting and important part. All of that was sort of set up in a way. So safety in autonomous cars is generally focused on the cars themselves. And this too is a problem. This is a problematic way of thinking. In order to fully understand the safety and risks, it is essential to think of autonomous cars as themselves systems and as systems embedded in broader systems. Socio-technical systems is the term I want to emphasize. We tend to think and speak about cars as well as computers or cell phones, refrigerators, and so on, as if they were merely physical objects, chunks of metal and plastic. And we think of their functionality as coming from the way the material components interact. A good deal of attention is now focused on the sensors, the cameras, the LiDAR systems, the GPS systems, and so on, of autonomous cars. These parts will all have to work together. And in this respect, autonomous cars are not just a set of inert parts. They are systems. We'll call them technological systems. The parts have to work together for the car to work, and they have to work together reliably for the cars to be safe. Importantly, cars are not just technological systems. They are socio-technical systems. So for a moment, we'll go back a bit. Consider human-driven cars. What makes your car work is not just the engine, ignition switch, tires, pistons, etc. It's not just how those parts interact with one another. Your car won't do anything unless you or someone else gets inside, turns the ignition switch, presses pedals, and turns the steering wheel. So your car works through a combination of human and machine behavior. It's a socio-technical system. Staying with driver cars, you and your car wouldn't get very far, and especially not safely or easily, if it weren't for roads, stoplights, gasoline stations, signs, and so on. The roads are designed so that your car fits on them and operates smoothly. Many roads are built so that your car has traction when you press on the brakes, thereby contributing to safety. Gasoline stations allow you to get fuel for your car. Stoplights help ensure that you don't easily collide with other cars or poor pedestrians, and so on. This means that your car works as it does, not just because of the car itself, the physical object, but also because of the larger system in which it operates. We sometimes refer to the larger system as infrastructure. Your car is part of a transportation infrastructure. Importantly, that infrastructure is not just technological. It's socio-technical. The infrastructure consists of things and people. Other drivers, pedestrians, gasoline station owners, road repair crews, and traffic law enforcement people. Your car is also socio-technical in the sense that people were involved in designing, manufacturing, and marketing it, and people are involved in maintaining your car and the infrastructure in which it operates. So your car is itself a socio-technical system, and it is part of a larger socio-technical system. Now imagine a shift from driver cars, human-driven cars, we could say, to fully autonomous self-driving cars. And suppose you own one. The shift eliminates you as the driver, but it does not mean that you are entirely out of the system. The fact that you still own the car alone makes it a socio-technical system, for it means that you are part of the car's operation. Not by driving, but deciding when it operates, where it is parked, how it is insured, when it needs to be taken in for repairs, and so on. And of course, your car will still be part of the infrastructure that makes the car useful to you. Roads, stoplights, gasoline stations, parking areas, auto repair services, etc. So even if we suppose that self-driving cars were no longer privately owned, now we'll take away your ownership, the people who own or manage the fleets of self-driving cars that circulate would still decide when and where cars are on the road, when the cars need repair, how they are insured, and people will still be involved in maintaining the communication systems by which cars are ordered up, as well as the systems for providing fuel, regulating traffic, ensuring vehicles, keeping the streets clean, and so on. A few years back, one of the cell phone companies in the U.S. ran an advertisement depicting a horde of people huddled around a single person with a cell phone, and the horde followed the person around wherever he went. The horde was meant to illustrate that when a person purchased this phone service from this company, the person did not just get a phone, but an entire support team. That image has always kind of stayed with me. Although intended for a different purpose, the image is a striking representation of the fact that it takes a large number of people to make a cell phone work, not just customer support, but people to manage computers, cell towers, electric grids, building processes, and so on. All of these people are necessary for the cell phone system to work. The same goes for autonomous cars, and this is true regardless of the level of automation. So recognizing that autonomous cars are components in socio-technical systems, returning now to safety, that's critical to thinking about safety because safety has as much to do with the humans who operate in the system as with the machine parts of the system. The use of the term autonomous is unfortunate because it suggests that humans will be out of the loop. However, nothing could be farther from the truth. Even if humans don't do the driving, humans will not only interact with the cars as riders, pedestrians, traffic cops, road workers, and pranksters. Humans will continue to be in control of designing, testing, manufacturing, and perhaps most importantly, setting the safety standards and certifying that the cars meet the standards. Understanding autonomous cars as socio-technical systems has many implications, one of which has received attention, how the public thinks about the cars and especially their safety. Public acceptance is and will continue to be a major issue for autonomous cars, and safety is central to acceptance. Public opinion has been influenced by accidents that I talked about that have already occurred. As a result, some have suggested that in order to garner public acceptance, autonomous cars will have to be at least twice as safe as driver cars. Others have suggested, and these are people who are involved in the industry, others have suggested they'll have to be 4 to 5 times safer than current cars. There is also another issue related to public acceptance, and that has to do with the meaning that people associate with driving. When we adopt the socio-technical systems perspective and recognize that people are part of the transportation system, we're better able to see that cars and driving have important meaning to people. For example, in the US, automobiles often serve as status symbols and representations of oneself, identity. Learning to drive is often experienced as a sign of growing up, a point at which one acquires more independence from one's parents. For many, cars are a symbol of their particular identity. A car may represent a lifestyle, as in the case of sports cars, or it may indicate one's wealth, as in the case of Jaguars, or even a symbol of one's political ideology, as in the case of hybrids. So cars are not just functional devices. This is relevant to the autonomous car debate because some have suggested that at least some drivers will resist giving up driving because of what it means to them. This issue would be easily managed in a system that had a mixture of driver and driverless cars. But it may turn out that a mixed system will be much more dangerous than a pure system. If that turns out to be the case, then there'll be pressure to actually prohibit some people from driving. Adopting the socio-technical systems perspective is critical to understanding safety because it allows us to see that safety depends both on machine behavior and human behavior. In the case of autonomous cars, taking humans out of the role of driver doesn't mean that human behavior is irrelevant. One of the most important roles that humans will have is, as I think I've already said, is in deciding how safety will be measured and when cars are safe enough to be put on public roads without emergency drivers. So, ensuring safety through standards and regulation. As mentioned earlier, the cars that are currently available for purchase and on the road are not fully autonomous. They have these level of automation, 1, 2, or 3. In addition, there are cars on the road with more advanced levels of automation that are licensed for testing on public roads and still require the driver behind the wheel. Just how the cars in experimental mode and those of the future will be determined to be safe enough is still an open question. The safety standards of autonomous cars are as much an emerging phenomena as are the cars. Some automobile manufacturers are relying on miles driven without an accident as a way to demonstrate safety. Calra and Paddock go to some length to calculate the number of miles and years needed to demonstrate autonomous vehicle reliability. But in the end, they conclude that autonomous vehicles would have to be driven hundreds of millions of miles and sometimes hundreds of billions of miles to demonstrate their reliability in terms of fatalities and injuries. They suggest that autonomous car developers cannot drive their way to safety. In the US, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration has issued guidelines for states to use in assessing whether autonomous cars are ready to put on public roads. But the guidelines are very broad and leave it up to each state to perform its own evaluations. In addition to federal guidelines, many states in the US have passed legislation regarding autonomous vehicles, not all of it related to safety. And several states have granted licenses to auto manufacturing companies to test experimental self-driving cars. There seems little doubt that standards, testing, regulations, and legislation will play an important role in ensuring the safety of autonomous cars of the future. But for now, it is unclear what approach is the best. There hasn't been consensus about this. Cummins and Rhine have suggested that a good deal could be learned by looking at how safety is achieved with other technologies. They focus in particular on the safety of in the field of aviation. The challenge of establishing regulations for autonomous cars is especially daunting because the technology is evolving rapidly. In the interim, Cummins suggests that we think in terms of informed consent. It's an interesting idea. She notes that federal regulation mandates that humans involved in an experiment must be informed and asked for their consent before they're put at risk. Cars that are licensed to operate for experimental purposes, which are on the road, are exposing people who are near the cars, drivers, pedestrians, road crews, to an unusual risk. As a step in the right direction of informed consent, Cummins argues that experimental cars should be marked, such as with bright colors, so that those in the vicinity know they're close to an experimental vehicle. Now, the next section, I'm not going to take the time to go through this. I was going to go into the trolley problem. Some of you know about the trolley problem, some of you don't, but that has to do with accident avoidance systems that would be programmed to make decisions about how your car swerves in an imminent collision, and might do it in ways that would calculate the least harm done. So it could swerve this way, and fewer people would be hurt than if it swerved that way. So it would actually make an ethical decision. And so there's been some controversy. Actually, this is calling it a trolley problem is a philosophical. It's a question that it arose in moral philosophy, but basically what we're talking about is the design of accident avoidance systems that will actually make ethical decisions about who lives or who's hurt and who's not hurt, and whether or not that's something you want programmed into a car. And if you would buy a car that was programmed in such a way that you might be sacrificed in an accident. So another implication of the ethical decision-making of accident avoidance systems is the possibility that people will altogether reject the idea of machines making life-death decisions. This stance has been taken by some in relation to autonomous weapons, so there's a similarity here. That is, there's a significant social movement to ban autonomous weapons. Some people may find it morally preferable for individuals to make ad hoc, spur-of-the-moment decisions in imminent collision situations than to intentionally buy cars with systems that are essentially set to make premeditated choices, formalized into the software about who lives and who dies. So I'm going to come to a conclusion now so we have some time for questions. So returning to the original question, will autonomous cars ever be safe enough? This is a question about the future. We can only speculate and make predictions. No one knows the answer now. We do know, however, that the answer depends on meeting both technical and social challenges. The challenges are not just a matter of developing components that operate reliably to ensure that autonomous cars are safe. The car itself does have to consist of reliable parts, and the car has to be embedded in a reliable socio-technical system. It will take reliable machines and reliable people to ensure that autonomous cars are safe. Though some may be disappointed if a system of fully autonomous cars is never implemented, efforts to develop fully autonomous cars have led to a number of innovations that make driver cars safer. That is, apparently, a number of devices have been invented or improved upon and implemented in driver cars, making them safer and easier to drive. I say apparently because someone has told me that's actually not true, that these safety improvements that we're now seeing, like changing things that signal when we're changing lanes or that do automatic stop, that they would have happened even if we weren't working on autonomous cars. But it seems like the research on autonomous cars is also making driver cars safer. And here I'm talking about parallel parking systems, advanced cruise control, sensors that detect when the car is changing lanes, all that stuff. So although it's not a target, if this continues, it's possible that, and this is worth considering, that the safety of driver cars will improve so much that the justification for autonomous cars will become less compelling. After all, the compelling argument is that autonomous vehicles don't get tired, intoxicated, or distracted. But if these innovations are successful, they may minimize the effects of those conditions, be tired, distracted, intoxicated, in humans. They'll supplement that. So they won't be, so human-driven cars will be safe. Or safe enough, I guess. And that's it.